I want to say that I get lots of good advice from my co-authors, but I don't always take it, so I absolve them from any guilt, any problems with what I say this morning. Culberson Gypsum Plain is one of several outcrops of Permian Age gyp rock between in West Texas, southern New Mexico. About 250,000 hectares occurs in Culberson County, located midway between Midland, Odessa, and El Paso, three-fourths of that in Culberson County. For a distance of 100 kilometers, you can drive on gypsum that's anywhere from 100 to 500 meters thick. It's about the same area as one of the square Texas and the square counties in the Texas Panhandle. Resident population here is about 10. Speak about some objectives. We want to talk about land use and management, some soil-environment relationships, and then end with a rehearsal of some of the inadequate standards in soil survey for describing and classifying these soils. The cast steel formation is composed of three minerals, anhydrite, calcite, and halite, arranged in bars. You've seen the bars in some of Wayne's presentation. It's mantled with a thin veneer of gypsite over about 80% of the landscape. Gypsite is an earthy variety of gypsum containing dirt and sand, according to the AGI glossary. We need to speak with the geologist next year, see if we can refine that definition of gypsite. There's a distinction between gypsite and gyp rock. Karst sinkholes like this are fairly abundant out on the cast steel. The land is low productive, rangeland use for wildlife habitat, livestock grazing, and increasingly in recent times, oil and gas production and exploration. Some of the land resource management concerns are the long-term impacts of oil field drill pads and the road networks that connect them, and the powdery dust that originates from these roads. Other concerns are livestock stocking rates, encroachment of salt cedar along drainage ways, and then, of course, the obtaining water for livestock and domestic use. Soil survey investigations out on the Culberson Gypsum Plain resulted in formulation of several soil series concepts. The Elcor, Hollabeek, and Cable series occur on hill slopes with greater than about 2% slope. The Elcor soil is on slopes between 2 and about 8%, supports very little vegetation. In fact, prior to 1999, this would not have been considered soil, but it was mapped as a miscellaneous land type, gypsum land. The soil profile is about 18 inches thick to lithic gyp rock. The CBYY horizon contains has a boxworks weathering pattern where the more soluble vars have dissolved out and the less soluble vars remain behind. The Hollabeek soil slopes between, say, 2 and 8% is a bit more productive than Elcor. Hollabeek has a petrogypsic and lithic bedrock both within a depth of 50 centimeters. The cave well soil differs from Hollabeek in that it lacks the lithic gyp rock within 2 meter depth. Some lab data from a Hollabeek soil in Culberson County indicates that it's dominated by gypsum with minimal contributions by carbonate and soluble salts. To a depth of about 15 centimeters, it's 80% gypsum. From 15 centimeters down to the bedrock, it's more than 90% gypsum. Gypsum here determined by a total dissolution EEC method recently come out of Lincoln. The Picorni and Joe Branch soils occur on fairly stable, karst pitted platform remnants in a really intricate pattern, intricate spatial pattern. Both these soils, Picorni and Joe Branch, have a petrogypsic within 50 centimeters of the soil surface. The Joe Branch soil has at least 15 centimeters of silicate material above a weakly cemented petrogypsum, which is a barrier to root growth. Here you see the horizontal roots growing on the surface of the BYYM. The picornis soil has a thin A, a couple of BYYs, and a sequence of BYYM horizons, the petrogypsic. And you can see over here the lateral roots on the surface of the BYYM. This material is strongly cemented, has a brittle manner of failure, and these grooved and polished prism surfaces. Wayne ventured to call them slicking sides earlier this morning. Of the standards for a soil survey that we have available, one of the standards that works very well for us are the protocol and class limits that describe rupture resistance classes. Petrogypsic horizons in most of the soils, the cave wall of the Hollabee, rupture with a force between 40 and 80 newtons. This is an air dry specimen, submerged in water for an hour, and then the test applied. The petrogypsic horizon within the picornis soil is strongly cemented, which requires foot pressure to rupture a specimen. These standards are fairly, can be applied in the field, and I think the results are fairly consistent. We're very happy with this particular standard. The standards that are not quite as adequate are the definition of the B horizon. As the B is currently defined, we really can't apply B to some of these layers. B requires an alluvial concentration of gypsum for case number one. It's very difficult to distinguish gypsum that's been translocated from that that's just been simply altered from that was inherited from the original material. So we can't demonstrate alluviation in these soils. These other criteria with X's don't apply. Only way we can get these materials into a B horizon as it's currently defined is through the brittleness, the brittle manner of failure. And I'm not sure that that's what the authors of the B horizon intended to include. So perhaps the definition of B horizon should be altered so that we can include these soils that clearly have been changed from the original material. As I mentioned already, the definition of the traditional particle size classes and taxonomy and the texture classes have little meaning in these soils with 80% gypsum, yet in the past soils have been forced into, jammed into the standard particle size classes, maybe inappropriately. And lastly, we've been mentioned before, these soils are frequently, almost always, whiter than we can describe with the Munsell soil color charts, and we cannot distinguish some of the subtle color differences that may have meaning for interpreting the genesis of these soils and how they would be predicted to behave in the future. To finish up, Culberson County is an interesting area. We have found that the traditional paradigm for soil survey works here. The soil landscape model works well, but we've identified some gaps in the standards and tools used in traditional soil survey. The clay-centric concepts for silicate soils don't work well for our soils here in Culberson County. Thank you. pH 7.4 to
7.8. Lynn, do you have any ideas or what is your belief about how we should go about modifying the texture for these soils? I mean, what do we call them? Do you have an opinion?
Well, in the field, there are two basic groups of how these soils behave in your hand. There's the flour dip or powder dip, the stuff that accumulates on the tailgate of the truck. You saw the bird tracks. And that's by far the dominant entity there in Culberson County. We rarely encounter the sugar dip that's more common over in the White Sands area of New Mexico. The Australians describe Kopi gyp, which is a seed gyp, a little bit larger particle size, but of the things we have in West Texas, two classes would seem to work.
So you would basically have a silty and a sandy if you had to describe it in current terminology?
The terms that make sense to me are sucrosic and pulverulent.
I'm glad they make sense to you. I could derive sugar out of sucrosic, but what is the meaning?
Pulverulent, there's a little settlement on the Rio Grande south of Marfa, about 60 miles, called Polvo, Spanish for dust. Pulverized. I think the National Soil Survey Center is in negotiation with the Munsell soil color people to develop a white page to describe the gypsum and maybe some of the carbonates. And then we have a volcanic ash soils in West Texas that are a little bit whiter than the Munsell soil color chart can describe.